This morning we did a lesson about lying, and one of the things about doing lessons is you're supposed to get them in about 30 to 35 minutes. And the information that you find as you do your research is much more than that. And so either you go 40, 50, 60 minutes and the brethren get mad at you, or you do two lessons on the same subject. And so we're going to be talking about lying again tonight, but from just a little bit different perspective. The first point that we'll make is this: the Bible plainly forbids lying, doesn't it? In Ephesians 4:25, Paul says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Lying also is something that God hates and despises. In Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16, the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look," now here's number two, "a lying tongue." God hates lies. A third point: lying will keep us out of heaven. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, or whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie," the writer of Revelation says in Revelation 21, verse 27, or 22, 27. Lastly, when you and I lie, it keeps us from being imitators of God. The Bible says God cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2. And the Bible exhorts you and me to be followers of God. Ephesians 5, verse 2. So if I lie and God cannot lie, then I cease imitating Him. I cease following in His footsteps. But all of us lie from time to time, don't we? Even though we have all of these teachings, all of these admonitions, all of these passages exhorting us not to engage in this act of lying, all of us from time to time have lied. So the question that we ask tonight is this: why? Why do we do that? The title of our lesson very simply is, "Why do we lie?" And we're going to be looking at several answers to that particular question. Here's the first one. Folks, sometimes we lie in order to look good, don't we? See, a lot of times you and I have difficulties with our egos. We want individuals to believe things about us that are not true. We want individuals to see us in ways that are not really correct and accurate. This morning we made mention of our little fishing illustration. You see, we like to look good. If I'm going to be a fisherman, I don't want to bring home a minnow. I want to bring home a whale, don't I? And so I tell individuals, "Oh yes, I caught a 5-pounder when I caught maybe a 2-pounder. Some of us guys love to go golfing. I like to go, I just never go. But an individual goes golfing and individuals come back and they said, "Well, how did you do?" "Oh, I shot a par round of golf." Folks, that's a 72. That means you took 72 strokes to get that ball into the cup in 18 holes. But in actuality, you really shot bogey golf. That's 90 shots. In my case, it's about 120. That's on 9 holes. We also have a little trouble sometimes with our grandkids, don't we? Oh, we love our grandkids. There's no doubt about that. And guess what? They are special and they do wonderful things. But, you know, I don't know about this thing about babies talking and saying words at about 2 months old. I've heard that. "She said my name." And I don't know about this walking at 5 months or doing algebra at about 8 months. Now, we have some wonderful grandkids, but sometimes we like to kind of expound upon those kids and we embellish it just a little bit and we add to the story and we like those grandkids to look good, don't we? Folks, wasn't that the very problem that the Pharisees had in their lives? You see, they walked around as the spiritual leaders of God's people and they wanted to look good. And there are many ways that they did that. They loved elegant titles, didn't they? They loved to be referred to as rabbi and master and father. And Jesus condemned them for that. These individuals would walk around and they would make long prayers in public places, not only thinking that they would be heard by God for their much speaking, but also because they wanted to impress all those individuals around them. Look how I can pray. The Bible never authorizes long, long public prayers. Never. Many times they're offered sheerly to be seen of men. These Pharisees also tithed little bitty things like mint, anise, and cumin. You see, they wanted everybody to know that we are so concerned about spiritual matters all the way down to the little minute details. See how spiritual we are? The Pharisees cleaned the outside, didn't they? Jesus said they cleaned the outside of the cups and the pans and the plates. They would clean up around the sepulchers and make them whited and beautiful and make them just as elegant as they possibly could be. And yet, the inside of those cups and plates were filthy. And within that sepulcher, there was nothing but dead men's bones and all hypocrisy, Jesus said. You see, they love to look good on the outside. It's interesting because they rejected the prophets, did they not? Here Jesus is, a prophet of God, a man sent from God. Not only just a man sent from God, but God's Son sent from heaven. And they rejected the message of the prophets. They rejected John the Baptist and his baptism. And yet, guess what? They praised and honored the dead prophets of old. Oh, how wonderful they were. You see, they loved to look good. And their lives were nothing more than a fabricated lie. That's all they were. We need to remember some things, folks. Some things that people really appreciate. Most individuals appreciate somebody who's transparent, don't they? What you see is what you get. Also, individuals like things that are real, things that are authentic, things that are genuine. And here's what's interesting. If you and I are genuine, if we're real, if we're sincere, individuals are going to love the good, and guess what? They're going to even accept us with a few flaws as well. But they know what? They know that we are just as real as we possibly can be. Folks, a few flaws isn't going to just mess you up completely. You know that? So number one, we lie because we want to look good. Number two, we lie in order to protect us from consequences. Children learn very early in life that bad behavior is connected with what? Consequences. And very quickly, they also learn this, that if I lie, I can escape the consequence of my bad behavior. And it's interesting that adults carry that same thinking process into adulthood, don't they? I know that if I tell the truth about anything that I've done, guess what? I'm going to get in trouble. There's going to be consequences to that. So oftentimes it's just easier to lie. We have a wonderful example in a man by the name of Gehazi. It's found in 2 Kings 5, beginning at verse 15. We all know the story. Naaman, a leader of the Syrian army, has leprosy. He makes his journey into the land of Palestine, ultimately finds a prophet by the name of Elisha. And Elisha directs him to wash himself, dip himself 7 times in the Jordan, and he'll be healed of his leprosy. He does that ultimately. And he comes back with all of these goods and all of these things, all of these riches that he wants to bestow upon the prophet. And the man of God refuses all of them. Sends Naaman back to his home country, and all of a sudden in comes Gehazi. He's the servant of the prophet. He hears what the prophet's done. You mean to tell me you let this man come down here with all this wealth and you took none of it? Not a drop. Gehazi immediately dispatches himself to Naaman. Quickly he catches him and he tells him a lie in order to gain some of those goods. He rushes quickly back to the city and he hides those things and comes in and stands before the prophet. And here's what the Bible says. And he went in and stood before his master. Now note this. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Uh-oh. Hey, Gehazi, where have you been? Gehazi, what you been up to? Now remember, he's gone and he's gotten those goods from Naaman that Elisha has rejected. Folks, read the next statement. And he said, thy servant went no whither. Basically what he says is that I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't done anything. Everything's wonderful. Everything's just fine. Now wait a minute, who's he talking to? He's talking to a prophet of God, isn't he? We'll come back to that in a minute. A couple of things that we need to remember when we lie to protect ourselves from consequences are this. Sooner or later, our lies will be found out, won't they? It almost always happens. It may not be immediately. It may be a day down the road, 2 days down the road, a month down the road, a year down the road. But eventually, our lies are found out, aren't they? And folks, if not in this life, guess what? Our lies will definitely be found out in the world to come. But here's the second point. The punishment suffered because we lied about our actions is usually much greater, is it not, than the punishment we would have suffered if we had just fessed up to our wrongdoing. Go back and study the account of Gehazi. And he suffered an extreme affliction from the man of God, did he not? In fact, he was given the plague of leprosy that Naaman had. And he had that plague for the remainder of his life. Why? Not only because he had done evil, but because he had lied about his actions to his master. Punishment for lying and evil is much greater than punishment just for the evil that we've done. Another reason that we lie is to escape bad reactions. Isn't that true? To escape bad reactions. If we tell the truth, folks, sometimes individuals are going to react negatively to the things that we have to say. A wonderful example of this is the yes men of rulers found in the Bible. We have a good example in the prophets of Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 22. Oh, Ahab has come together with the prophet from the south, the prophet from Judah, and they're going to do battle against a place called Ramoth-Gilead. But before they go into battle, the king from Judah says, we need to get a word from the Lord. So what does Ahab do? The Bible says, and he gathered together his prophets, and the number of them were about 400 men. And he said, shall we do battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or do we forbear? Now remember, these are supposed to be the counselors of the king. And immediately, these 400 men answer in one accord, and they say, go up, for the Lord will surely grant thee victory unto the king. Yes, men. Here's the question, folks. What would have happened if two or three of those guys had raised their hand and said, whoa, no, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Ahab, if you go up, you're going to get whipped today. You go up and do battle, guess what? You're going to die in that battle. Oh, a lot of things could have happened, couldn't they? Fired from their position. And folks, a prophet for a king was a pretty powerful position, you know that? A lot of wealth, a lot of delicacies, a lot of fine things at your disposal because you're a counselor for the king. And not only might they lose all of those comforts, they may have been persecuted, they may have been thrown into the king's prison, or worse, may have even lost their lives, mightn't they? You see, these men feared the reaction of the king, so they just set themselves up as yes men. Unbelievable. You see, when you and I fail to tell the truth because of the reaction from others, it stems from cowardice, does it not? A lot of times, just fear. I don't want to get into it. I don't want that individual to get angry with me. I don't want that person to separate himself from me. And all of those fears that we have keep us from telling the truth. It also involves a lot of selfishness sometimes. If I really stand up and tell the truth, then I'm going to lose all these wonderful blessings that are at my disposal. We also know that we don't want to face any harm, do we? We don't want any bad things to happen to us. We don't want somebody to get mad at us and beat us up. We don't want somebody to persecute us. We don't want them to throw us in prison. We don't want them to kill us. So sometimes we believe it's just easier to lie than it is to get a bad reaction from another person. You know, we look at these yes men and we look at them pretty harshly, don't we? Has there ever been a time in your life when someone said something and you need to say something and you don't because you fear the reaction of the person? Folks, that's easy, isn't it? It can happen in the smallest little setting. It might be with a friend who's not a Christian. It may be with a coworker at work who's engaging in something that he shouldn't be engaged in. It might even be with one of our family members who really needs to hear the truth, and yet we're scared to tell them the truth because of the reaction we're going to get. You see, we're a lot like the yes men of Ahab sometimes. Another reason that we lie is to lead other people astray. Isn't that Satan's primary mission? His main mission in life is to make certain that you and I do not follow God and that we lose our souls in a devil's hell. And the way he does that is by leading us astray in any way that he possibly can. You see, lies of Satan are designed to lead us in the wrong direction. Men do it all the time, even in our society. Let me give you just two examples of what I'm talking about. Sometimes it happens with a perversion of justice, does it not? When you and I enter into a courtroom, when any individual enters into the courtroom, what's the one thing he desires? He desires justice, doesn't he? If he's innocent, he needs to be pronounced innocent. If he's guilty, he needs to be pronounced guilty. But it needs to be done on the basis of the true evidence of the case. But what happens a lot of times is individuals bring in false witnesses, don't they? We've read about that even in the trials of Jesus Christ as we've been studying the sayings of the crucifixion. Folks, what are false witnesses for? False witnesses are there to lead the judge, lead the jury astray. Rather than seeing the facts, rather than seeing the truth and base them on the truth, these false witnesses are liars to lead the judge and jury astray. The Bible says a false witness speaketh lies. Proverbs 14, verse 5. So sometimes in our judicial system, individuals speak lies to lead people astray. But notice the next one, the proclamation of false doctrine. the proclamation of false doctrine. Folks, the reason that individuals preach false doctrine oftentimes is to lead people away from God. Did you know that? When you turn over to 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, or beginning at verse 1, the Bible says this: "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall," watch this, "depart from the faith." The faith is the way of righteousness. The faith is the way to get to heaven. The faith is the true way, the right way, the way of God. But notice these individuals are departing from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There are individuals in our world who will purposely lead us away from the way of truth. Their conscience is seared, their conscience is hard, and they have no qualms whatsoever with speaking and teaching lies to individuals. It's amazing. This afternoon, somehow, I got to reading about the Paula White Ministries. Folks, just go back and read about some of the corruption in just her ministry alone. She's been married 3 times. Tax evasion, fraud, all kinds of things. And yet, she continues to act like she's a woman of God proclaiming truth to the masses. It's amazing, isn't it? But you see, sometimes individuals speak lies to lead others astray. 2 points we need to remember. When a person is led astray, he ends up, first of all, where he does not need to be, and secondly, where he doesn't want to be. Anybody ever given you a bad direction? Now, I'm not saying they lied to you. I'm just saying they gave you a bad direction. You wanted to know where something is, and all of a sudden, you wind up in a place, guess what? Where you don't need to be and where you don't want to be. How would you like to be an individual who, because of the spiritual leadership of a man or a woman, winds up in hell? Folks, that's a place where, guess what? You don't need to be and you don't want to be. But that's what lies do, don't they? They lead people astray. I don't know about you. I don't want anybody leading me astray. Do you? Here, put your money in this investment. So you spend $5,000, $10,000 in an investment and it goes bust. Thank you. Not what you want, is it? You want individuals to tell you the truth. And if you want that, if you don't want to be led astray, then guess what? We need to practice the golden rule, do we not? Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Whatever I want to be done to me, do to other people. If I don't want to be led astray, then guess what? Don't lead somebody else astray. How about this next one? Sometimes we lie to harm someone else. That's sad, isn't it? Watch this point. Folks, evil people with wicked hearts lie to hurt other people, don't they? We have a beautiful example in a woman who we only know as Potiphar's wife, don't we? We all know the story. Joseph is sold into slavery by his brethren. The first man who purchases him is Potiphar. He does well in Potiphar's house, rises to second in command, the steward of everything that Potiphar has, except his wife. And for some reason, his wife wants to lie with Joseph, doesn't she? Day in and day out, lie with me. Finally, they're in the house all by themselves, and what does Joseph do? The Bible says that he got himself out. The problem, however, was that he left his garment behind, didn't he? Potiphar's wife was an evil woman with an evil heart. She didn't get what she wanted, so what did she do? She lied to harm Joseph. when her husband came home, here's what she says. The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to what? Mock me. Folks, is that true? No. He was in the house. Why? Because that's what his responsibilities were. But he didn't come into that house to do anything to that woman. She's letting everybody believe that he came in to rape her. That's what she's saying. And notice what she says. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. He didn't flee because she was crying. He fled because she was trying to get him to commit adultery with her. It was a lie. Was Joseph harmed by that lie? You bet he was. He lost his position in that home, did he not? And he was cast for several years into what is referred to as the king's prison. Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. You see, some people are evil, and they love to harm other people by their actions. And here's what you and I need to understand. Folks, even God, the Bible says, does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 18, verse 32. God wants no harm to come to the wicked. God doesn't desire the destruction of the wicked. He longs for their salvation. He longs for them to see the error of their way. He longs for them to repent and be saved. And when they die, he does not rejoice, the Bible says. He takes no pleasure therein. Think about that. He's God. If anybody should rejoice in the harm of the wicked, it would be God. And yet he does not. Evil people harm others with lies. How about this next one? To persuade others. You see, there's some times that we so much desire to have people on our side and agree with us and accept the things that we say that we will just lie to them. Here's a huge illustration. Evolution. Does evolution have a big following? It's huge. In fact, evolution is so big now that not only do you have your atheist and your humanist who believe it, but many have even tried to wed evolution with the Bible, haven't they? Theistic evolution. And evolution has taught us lie after lie after lie after lie in order to get us to accept their position. Well, Vic, what are some of the lies? How about this one, folks? The fossil record's a fraud. They tell us that there's all these transitional fossils that can be found in the fossil record, and they are not there. Not if you study the fossil record. How about this one? They tell us that there is such a thing as good mutations that have brought us to the point that we are. Folks, you see, it takes a mutation in nature in order to make a change to the species. Most mutations are bad. And mutations cause the object or the individual or the subject to die. But you see, what science tells us is this. The evolutionists say, oh, over this long, long, long period of time, we had several good mutations. And that's what got us here today. It's a lie. Mutations are not good, they're bad. How about this one? The missing links. Neanderthal man, Piltdown man, Lucy. All of these missing links between the ape and the human being, and they're all scandals. And guess what? They still stand in renowned museums to this day. They continue to tell the lies to our young people and make us think that we're nothing more than evolved animals. Folks, we are not. We are creatures made in the image of the Almighty God. But you see, they teach lies to do what? to bring us over to their position. How about this one? The idea of billions and billions and billions and billions of years. Given enough time, they say, anything can happen. No, it can't. God's given enough time. The only thing nothing will ever create is nothing. Isn't that true? Doesn't matter how many years you give it. If there's ever a time when there was nothing that existed, then it doesn't matter how long and how much time passes. Nothing will continue to exist. It's all a lie. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Whoever believes in this mess called evolution, whoever believes in this idea that there is no God and that we've just evolved, they need to do some study because they are believing a lie. And these lies are designed to lead us astray and lead us away from the Almighty God. It's just that simple. Here's one that's sad. Sometimes we lie just out of ignorance, don't we? You see, we lie because we don't really know. There's a lot of individuals who think they have the facts when they don't. There are many individuals in our world who only have partial information, and based upon partial information, they make all of these explanations and judgments and conclusions. There are individuals in our world who trust others without doing their homework. That's easy to do, isn't it? You see, there's somebody out there in whom we put our trust, and we put our trust in him. He says something, and so we believe he would never lie, and so we just spout the things that he or she says as if it's truth. It's amazing. Here's another. Sometimes it's just willful ignorance. Folks, there's some people out here who will lie, knowing that it's a lie, and don't care that it's a lie. All they want to do is get you where they are. Scary, isn't it? Let's look at two examples of what we're talking about. Folks, one of the biggest lies pawned off on the society today is a thing called climate change. Now, I am not saying that climate doesn't change. Climate does change. Climate always has changed. And guess what? If a billion years passes, climate will continue to change. What's the lie? The lie is that you and me, as little bitty human beings, can impact climate to such an extent that it changes. That's a lie. That's not true. Well, how do you know that, Vic? Well, how about this one? I love to ask people this. I get an unbelievable reaction. Was there ever an ice age? Was there ever an ice age? The answer to that is yes. Now, folks, that ice age happened a long, long, long time ago. And guess what? It happened when there were no cars, no planes, no factories. How in the world did the CO2 level get so high that it changed the whole climate of the world? You see, these are the things that are blamed on us for changing climate. Folks, they didn't even exist, and the climate changed. Isn't that amazing? Just look at some basic facts. See, this is what I'm talking about. People don't know the facts. All they hear is what they hear through the news or whatever they hear, and they never really stop and look at the facts. Greenhouse gases, that's the thing that we are told, changes climate, consist of 2% of the atmosphere. 2%. CO2, which comes out of our SUVs, and guess what? Even out of my little Toyota Corolla, it accounts for 0.04% of the atmosphere. Now, that's all CO2 emissions. How much do we put in to that 0.04%? 3.5%. Now, folks, you go home and you do the math. How much does man put CO2 into the atmosphere? And guess what? It is a smidgen. It is a sliver. I don't know the word to use. It is so minute that there is absolutely no way that human beings can cause climate to change. It's a lie. When you study it enough, folks, there's hundreds of things that cause climate change. You want to know what the two biggest factors are that cause the climate in the United States to change? The Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. Those are the two most powerful climate changers in the United States of America. Not whether you drive an Escalade or an Expedition or any other kind of car. It's not the fact that you fly from here to California on a vacation in a jetliner. Folks, those don't have anything to do with our climate change. There's far too many other factors that influence it. The next thing that I'm going to tell you about this was something that caused a man that I was having a discussion with just to immediately drop the subject. It's found in Isaiah 45, verse 8. You want to know what the Bible says about this world? He hath formed the world, watch this, to be inhabited. God created this world some 6,000 years ago. See, people even laugh about that, right? God formed this world about 6,000 years ago, and guess what He did? He formed the world to be inhabited. Let me ask you something. Did God know 6,000 years after He created the earth that man would be driving cars, flying planes, and have factories that breathe stuff into the atmosphere? I don't know God knew that. He did know that. He knew exactly what He was doing. He formed the earth to what? To be inhabited. He knew we would be here. He knew what's going on. And guess what? He is not going to let little man destroy His planet. The Bible says He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Guess who controls this planet? It's not man, it's God. And we're foolish to think that we as human beings can bring this planet to its ultimate destruction. Guess who's going to do that? God, isn't He? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But we've been fed lies. And see, we go out here and what do? We just promulgate those lies, don't we? Oh, man contributes to climate change. We're the main problem for climate change. We need to turn down our thermostats, sell our cars, buy Priuses. Need to do a lot more walking. Need to get everybody involved in public transportation. Get all this CO2 that man puts out there out of the atmosphere. You see, sometimes we lie out of ignorance. And sadly, it's done in the spiritual world as well, isn't it? One of the biggest lies pawned off in the spiritual realm with regard to salvation is salvation by faith only. You turn on the television, if you see a televangelist, guess what he's going to preach? Salvation by faith only, isn't he? These guys fill stadiums, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people. Some of them have 5,000, 6,000 individuals come into a building every Sunday morning. And guess what they tell them? All you have to do is believe in order to be saved. It's a lie. People don't even check. People don't even study. People don't even read Scripture. They just believe. And because of ignorance, they're led astray. The Bible says in James 2:24, the truth, doesn't it? You see then how that by works a man is justified, and what? Not by faith only. There's truth, folks. One verse totally destroys the idea of faith only, and yet individuals believe it. Willful ignorance, some, just complete ignorance for others. Conclusion. Folks, our lies oftentimes show how degraded man can be, doesn't it? Notice some of the things we've talked about. We lie to elevate our egos, don't we? We lie in order to escape any consequences of our actions. We lie in order to escape the negative reactions of other people. You see, that's self-preservation. We lie to lead other individuals astray. We lie in order to harm others sometimes. We lie to manipulate others to our position. And we lie out of ignorance. And my friends, the Bible doesn't teach that ignorance is bliss. Doesn't teach that. You and I need to be relentless for truth, don't we? That's what we need to be. And it doesn't matter what realm of living that it's in. You and I need to be relentless for truth. And when you and I become relentless for truth, regardless of what it is, look at the kind of qualities that we're going to manifest. We're going to be strong. We're going to be courageous. We're going to be loving. We're going to be caring. And we're going to be knowledgeable individuals. Isn't that the kind of person that you really want to be? But folks, the only way to be that is to be relentless for the truth. I want us to close with just two thoughts. We've already made the thoughts. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. First, you and I must put away lying. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing we have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We need to remember that. I don't want to lie. I'm a new man. I put off that old dead man of sin. I don't want to be a part of that. We need to remember this thought. All liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, verse 8. Who wants that? My friends, don't believe a lie tonight. Don't believe the lies of Satan with regard to salvation. Study the truth. Study God's Word. That's where you learn how to be saved. Those on the day of Pentecost cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They manifested faith, did they not? That faith had come from hearing the preaching of the apostles that day. And Peter told them exactly what they needed to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I'm just repeating what Peter said 2,000 years ago. And they that gladly received His word were what? Were baptized. Folks, that's the way to be saved. That's what the Bible says. Won't you do that tonight? Dear Christian, are you erring? Are there things in your life that you believe that are lies? My sin won't condemn me. Oh, yes. Our sin will condemn us. Do we need to repent of that? Ask God to forgive us. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.